Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stage Right, the show that looks at the lack of conservative voices in theater and asks, why? With your host, Rocky Benisher.
Exciting announcement today. Exciting announcement. I hope you are listening closely to your computer speakers, either now while we're live or when we play back our archives, when you listen to us on via archive. But here's the exciting announcement I have, and that is I have decided that I'm going to go forth with a conservative theater festival in Columbus, Ohio. You heard it first here, folks. I have decided that I am going to pursue a conservative theater festival in Columbus, Ohio. I don't know when, I don't know how, but we're going to do it, following in the footsteps of that brave and left-wing theatrical producer, Kara Bluin, in Philadelphia. And we are going to have a call for scripts, and we're going to put on the conservative voice in theater here in Columbus. So I hope you feel that's exciting, as I do. And my name is Rocky Benisher. And this is, of course, Stage Right. It's the show that comes to you every Sunday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just a half an hour, but boy, do we jam-pack stuff into that half an hour. And as always, we are seeking the conservative voice in theater. But, you know, I think we're going to also start expanding that. Because of the number of conservative voices that are out there in the arts in general. These are people who are not being heard. These are people who are not getting the recognition they deserve. You can tell that on the sites such as LibertyIsland.com and, of course, our friends at the Conservative Libertarian Fiction Alliance on Facebook. I want you to all go out there and I want you to take a look at the Conservative Libertarian Fiction Alliance on Facebook. Join up with that group, and you'll see that there's so many genres other than theater that have the conservative voice that's kind of out there in the grassroots. But we don't hear a lot about them. I wonder why. Anyway, and next week I'm going to have a really great story about the science fiction world. It's a world that I am not particularly familiar with, nor particularly, I have to be honest, interested in. However, there is a bit of a backlash against conservative writers. That is one of the few conservative strongholds, is science fiction, as is like military tales. I guess you could understand why that is. And there's been some backlash from the left and pushback from the right. And that's the thing that's exciting about that story that we'll hear next week. Pushback from the right. Oh, you never hear that. Hey, just before we get into our subject at hand today, I want to remind you that we are always, excuse me, I'm going to call. We are not professional enough to have a mute button here. We are supported by our friends at Xander Business Group. They provide social media monitoring, online risk assessments for your child's online presence. Xander, that's X-A-N-D-E-R. Don't forget, folks, the internet never, don't you forget that the internet never forgets. And it's even more important these days for parents to take a proactive role in protecting their child's safety as well as online reputation. So you need a group like Xander Business Group who can help you parents out there of children who are under 18 find out exactly what it is they are doing on Facebook, on Instagram, on Pinterest, on, I'm trying to see if I name them all here, Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram. Oh, there's so many. Oh, Twitter. I forgot Twitter. Are your kids tweeting out there? Well, isn't that tweet? Anyway, if you want to contact Xander Business Group, you can. They'll have lots of information for you. You can reach them at 760-865-9614 or by emailing them at info@XanderBusinessGroup, all one word, Xander with an X, info@XanderBusinessGroup.com. You want to reach us today, we're at 347-884-9659. That number again is 347-884-9659. It's not going to cost you anything if you call from a cell phone, I imagine. So why don't you give us a call and let us know what you think. And we are also on email, stageright audio1@gmail.com. Okay, before we get into David Mamet today, I have a disturbing story from the National Review. I go to the National Review to get disturbing stories because they are very watchful of what the left is doing out there. Take a listen to this. It says, NPR's Ira Glass recently declared Shakespeare to be, quote, unrelatable, end quote. If he were in college today, he would likely be spared the bother of trying to relate. A survey of 52 top-rated American colleges and universities shows that only a widely assorted four, did you hear that, folks? Four, Wellesley, UCLA, the Naval Academy, and Harvard, of all places, home of some great anti-Semitism, require English majors to take a course in Shakespeare. Only four, those four, take an English course in Shakespeare. To be sure, some colleges feel a Shakespeare requirement would be superfluous, like requiring poetry majors to smoke gitanas. I don't know what that is. Others include a bard in required survey. Others include the bard in required survey courses, or strongly recommend a Shakespeare course without making it mandatory. But too many English departments now have requirements like those of Northwestern, which make no mention of Shakespeare, but include, ready, one course in transnationalism and textual circulation, and one course in identities, communities, and social practice. Wow. In the bad old patriarchal days, English departments didn't care whether Shakespeare was relatable or not. You read it because it was the foundation for centuries of classic English literature. Nowadays, evidently, that's considered a bad thing. So, we are watching the witnessing, living through the disintegration of the Western canon, and now they have gone for Shakespeare. That's very disturbing, right? It's bad enough we were, you know, Westerners, dead white males. They don't speak to the plight of the minorities and the other special interest groups that the left so embraces, verbally, of course, will do very little or nothing about them. To help these folks. But now we are seeing even the Bard under attack. And I have to admit, I thought the Bard was untouchable, but that is not true. The Bard is apparently not an important character, except at Wellesley, UCLA, the Naval Academy, and Harvard. Now, first of all, who is Ira Glass? In case you don't know, Ira Glass, and this is a Wikipedia search, folks, and you know I did this quickly, but I'm sure many of you can find out who Ira Glass is. He is an American public radio personality. He is born in 1959, so he's all of about 54. American public radio personality and host and producer of the radio and television show This American Life. Has anybody out there seen this show, This American Life? I have not. Not sure I want to. He attended Milford Mill High School in Baltimore County, where he was active in student theater. So we have a theater person here. Student government, of course, and yearbook. Co-editor of the Student Literary Magazine. Now, here's the theater part. He played the part of Captain George Brackett in Milford's 1975 production of South Pacific, Lowe in their 1976 production of Damn Yankees. I think that must be one of the ball players, because I love that show. And I'm not at the tip of my tongue able to tell you who Lowe is in that show. And Bud Frump, that one I know, in their 1977 production of How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, and along with his involvement on stage, he was a member of the Thespian Society. Very nice. So this is a theater man, and what makes me sad is that we have a theater man here who believes that Shakespeare is unrelatable. All right. Now, wait. More on Ira Glass, though. His show, The American Life, reaches More than 1.7 million listeners. That's a little more than we reach. More than 500 stations weekly. Average listening time of 48 minutes. Who cares? He can be heard in all of four of those episodes, and he aired his 500th show in July of 2013. Lots of honors, lots of accolades for this man. And now here comes a section on religion. I thought this was worth talking about. Glass has stated on This American Life that he is a staunch atheist. Staunch! He said, "It's not like I don't feel like I'm a Jew. I feel like I don't have a choice about being a Jew. Your cultural heritage isn't like a suitcase you can lose at the airport. I have no choice about it. It is who I am. I can't choose that." He keeps saying this, doesn't he? It's a fact of me. But even when I was 14 or 15, you know, that enlightened age where you understand so much about the world and the people who are older than you obviously don't, it didn't make much sense to me that there was this big daddy. Notice the theatrical term he uses, big daddy, who created the world and would act so crazy in the Old Testament. Well, there's a really good and a thoughtful commentary by this 14 or 15 year old mind, which apparently has not evolved much to age 54. Wow. Okay, it goes crazy. Big Daddy creates a world. Mendacity, the smell of mendacity. There, Big Daddy. And he goes crazy. Wait, there's more. "That we made up these stories to make ourselves feel good and explain the world seems like a much more reasonable explanation." Okay. "I've tried to believe in God, but I simply don't." Aw. Glass notes, "We do a lot of stories on..." Now, this is great, folks. If you didn't already think this was a bunch of laughable nonsense, wait till you hear this. "We do a lot of stories on Christians. And whenever I get close to the people in the story, they try to convert me to Christianity." Poor thing. My God, they're out there pulling out their Bibles, proselytizing. Join our ranks. Absolutely. I'm sure that's what's going on. Every Christian I know, I'm surrounded by them, is not a moment that they're not taking out their Bibles and force-feeding me the New Testament, since I already take care of the Old Testament as a Jew. It's no doubt. Now, wait, I think it gets better. He says, "Atheism aside," just that little side up, "some years I have a nostalgic feeling to go into a shul." For those who don't know, a shul is it literally means school, but it is the temple where you worship. "Go into the shul, and I'll go in for a high holiday service." Well, of course, that's when we all become Orthodox, reveals Glass, who has fond memories of his childhood rabbi's enthralling sermons. "Rabbi Simar Ezrog was really funny, a great storyteller. He was so good that even the kids would stay and watch him. He'd tell a funny anecdote, something really moving, and go for a big finish. That's what the show is." He compares, acknowledging the rabbi's influence. Apparently, Rabbi Ezrog did not have a lot of influence on Mr. Glass, because Mr. Glass is, quote-unquote, a staunch atheist. Again, this is Wikipedia now. So I'm going to give a little bit to the side that says that Wikipedia is not always reliable. But this is what I got right now. If you know something more, let me know. Ira Glass has stated that Christians really get bad rap in the media. This he's right. He has reached enlightenment. And that contrary to the way they are portrayed in pop culture, the Christians in his life were all incredibly wonderful and thoughtful. Unless they're trying to force him into Christianity, which he said earlier. Wonderful, thoughtful people. This guy is confused. That's my armchair psychological diagnosis of Ira Glass. He is a very confused person. He has not evolved from age 14 on his thinking. But now he says that Shakespeare is unrelatable. So I put this question on Facebook to my listeners and asked if Shakespeare is even important anymore. Now, here's what our listeners had to say. And our listeners, as you know, are very thoughtful people in their own right. They just may not give a great sermon like Rabbi Ezrog did. Okay, so this from the Liberty Tree. That's the site, the Liberty Tree. Marsha Moore says, the classics are important in understanding the human experience. Children today are mainly robots regurgitating what some leftist professor shoves down their throats. It is a very sad thing that young people are being cheated out of a quality education. Bravo, bravo to Marsha Moore. Okay, Marsha. Now, we have, the site is Lynn B. Carr, Conservative Warrior. Sounds like a comic book, doesn't it? Lynn B. Carr, Conservative Warrior. Jim Furman writes, there's a lot of truth and wisdom about life from what Shakespeare says. He had it pretty well pinned down how it is. I found it intriguing to study him in English literature. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Jim. Jim, thank you very much. Jim. Okay. You know, you don't have to be an English major to understand the importance of Shakespeare. It's part of our heritage, our world heritage, okay? You can even take it out of the realm of Western civilization. Shakespeare is important to the world, as evidenced by other cultures doing his work. I think there is a reciprocal relationship between Shakespeare and the world. This is something that should not be taken, even if you don't like Western civilization, which, of course, our left-wing professors at these wonderful colleges and universities do not, even if you don't. Studying Shakespeare is important. It is, to me, equally important. No, I'll take that back. It is more important than studying some obscure work by some African or some obscure work by somebody from India or Latin America, some crazy obscure work, excuse me, that gets into these anthologies these days because they have to be inclusive, even if the work is a piece of sugar. And you know what I mean by that. But we're going to get to a point where Shakespeare is taken out of the equation, and people today and these other writers from all these other places that are not in the West, which automatically makes them more thoughtful, right? Which automatically makes them more insightful. And by the way, they are probably knowledgeable of Shakespeare, and I bet you a lot of these people would say Shakespeare is very important. Okay, Mike Bowman and Kyle Andrews had a conversation on the Conservative Libertarian Fiction Alliance. You've heard me mention them. Okay. Matthew Bowman started with, holy cannoli, yes to teaching Shakespeare. I love teaching Shakespeare. Excellent. Kyle says, as a kind of sort of actor, I could be strung up for saying this in some circles, but I have always hated performing Shakespeare. Yeah, his work is classic. Come on, Kyle. Yeah, it's a classic. But then again, so's a Big Mac. I just never connected to it. I have always hated when acting teachers fall back to Shakespeare because that is a whole different game that I don't need all that often. I'd love to know exactly what you mean by it's a different game. So far as acting, no. But in terms of literary history, sure. But I wouldn't be an absolute must. But it wouldn't be an absolute must for me. And Matthew came back with, Matthew Bowman, that tells me you've been taught Shakespeare wrong. That's not unusual. Most people teach Shakespeare as literature, not performance. Wow. Thank you, Matthew Bowman. Oh, wait. Oh, he wants his applause. And Kyle does respond. And we'll hear what Kyle's response is, but I have to give some applause to Matthew Bowman for that. Okay, I hope he's listening. Because that is a true distinction, literature and performance. Ah. What Ira Glass is talking about here, though, is literature. No. So I'm wondering, you know, I applaud Matthew Bowman for the dichotomy between literature and performance. But I think what Ira Glass is talking about is literature. I could be wrong, but Glass, Mr. Glass has tweeted information about seeing John Lithgow in King Lear at the Theater in the Park and how fabulous that performance was, but Shakespeare is unrelatable. So I think what he's talking about is literature and its place in the pantheon of literature. And for God's sakes, I think we should make some room for Shakespeare. Anyway, Kyle Andrews responds, in the acting community, there are Shakespeare snobs who believe that you aren't a real actor if you don't do Shakespeare. I'm sure that's true. These are a lot like theater or film snobs who look down their noses at TV actors. That community damages that which they claim to love the most. By being disrespectful, they don't earn respect for their corner of the market. Very good. My frustration is born from wanting to learn acting skills and having teachers who were more interested in their own pursuits than teaching their classes. Hear, hear. You're absolutely right on, Mr. Andrews. It just set down a bad foundation, and now I instantly get frustrated when I see Shakespeare. I want no part of it, which has very little to do with the material itself. There are times when it isn't appropriate to teach the classics, so I guess it just depends. Well, I'm going to say, first of all, I'm going to give you a little applause, but not as much as the others. Hold on. That's it. Because I do think you make some good points, Mr. Andrews, but I would say that there is never an inappropriate time to teach the classics. To me, the classics are like learning the scales when you're playing an instrument. You have to know the basics before you can start playing like Eric Clapton. That's if you play the guitar. Okay, a couple more comments. And then I want to talk about David Mamet in the time remaining, which there isn't much. In Conservative America, the site Conservative America, Ben Gontra says, where else are you going to learn iambic pentameter? Well, I guess that's true. Well, no, it's not. Other playwrights wrote in iambic pentameter. The thing about iambic pentameter is, of course, that it is the closest rhythm to American or English speech, which makes it so appealing because it's not written in a poetic meter. It is a poetic meter, but it sounds so much like prose. And finally, this from Conservative Lady, and I don't know why I'm giving this person any time, but I just thought it was funny. Qui mio Angel Duchesne. I think that's how you pronounce it. Qui mio Angel Duchesne is the name. And she says, liberal arts curriculum should be axed from all colleges and universities, period. Okay. I was a little taken aback by that, but then she comes to attack me. To even discuss such as wasting space on this group's wall, you are a troll for intentionally clogging this group with stupidity. That's what I did. I wanted to clog. I start to sound like Mark Levin, don't I? You're a moron! There, I said it! All right. Yeah. Qui mio Angel Duchesne. Sorry. I'm going to continue to post these things. Hardly a waste of space. Great scholarly response. Thank you. All right. So keep in mind, folks, that the left is now looking to get rid of Mr. Shakespeare. Now, am I overstating the case? I don't know. You know how I'll find out? By talking to Ira Glass. So this show is trying to get in touch with Ira Glass and see if he'll come on and talk to us about this particular issue. Don't hold your breath. Okay, David Mamet. God, we only have 6 minutes left. This is crazy. I'm going to have to expand this show. Or maybe not so spend so much time with the sides. The Secret Knowledge on the Dismantling of American Culture. The struggle of the left to rationalize its positions is an intolerable Sisyphean burden. I speak as a reformed liberal. David Mamet's Coming Out of the Closet tome. And chapter 24 is entitled Arrested Development. Here's what he has to say. I was teaching a seminar on dramatic structure at a university. All was going well until I suggested that the heroine of the story we were constructing be kidnapped by some Arab terrorists. One student asked, haven't the Arabs as terrorists? Responds Mr. Mamet, I don't know. They came to mind because perhaps as Arab terrorists bombed New York. Another student suggested that Pakistanis might be the villain of this piece, and a third said, That's just not funny. You can always tell a left-wing response, right? That's not funny. We have no humor. But my golly, I said, can the piece have no villain? Are we to suggest that since any actor must himself have characteristics, we strive to create a featureless villain to our choice of which then could be ascribed no attempt at derogatory racial or social comment? Whereupon the class degenerated in a way which, seemed to me, must be rather usual, for the students lapsed into rather stilted and formulaic repetition of pronouncements. Everything, it seemed, was political, and their job was to inform the ignorant of it. How often have you heard that, or rather felt that way? I know I felt that way, that the left at the universities are telling us, you conservative, ignorant, redneck backwoodsmen, you Appalachian sunsets, you don't know, we do, we're going to teach you. Isn't that the whole Obama philosophy, that problems are solved by the quote-unquote experts? And you see what a great job they've done.
Okay.
We got more intelligent information right now about the issue of Shakespeare as being taught by our listeners on Facebook than we did by the staunch atheist, Mr. Glass.
Okay.
The ignorant in this classroom were myself and the young woman who suggested the Pakistanis. A young ideologue broadened his thesis. It was not only the responsibility of the dramatist he taught to refrain, he taught, don't you like the way Mamet says it? To refrain from stereotyping, but to use every aspect of the drama to enforce upon the public a humanitarian view of the world. Homosexuals, for instance, he said, should be seen kissing on stage whenever possible. Was it not an outrage that the part of Blanche in A Streetcar Named Desire was always played by a woman? Why could it not be played by a man?
Wow. And let's go back to what Mamet's saying here. Playwrights need to use every aspect of the drama to enforce, he says this word and he italicizes it for emphasis, upon the public a humanitarian view of the world. Enforce it. This is what we are. Do we anticipate, do we expect our dramatists now to enforce a particular view of the world? They are completely free to state their view of the world, but to enforce it upon us? That means we are the children who must learn. So now we go to the theater purely for a didactic purpose, and that is to be spoon-fed the thoughts and quote-unquote realities of the left. We ought to enforce, the dramatists ought to enforce this. Just quickly on Streetcar. Well, I said, this is Mamet talking, it could be played by a man. Streetcar is essentially a gay fantasy written by a gay writer and clothed in straight terms. This gave the young fellow pause because he was not sure if my comments supported or opposed his thesis. Probably because he didn't know anything about Streetcar. We will continue this next week. We'll pick this up. Stay tuned for more information about the Conservative Theater Festival in Columbus, Ohio. I am going to make it my business to make this happen. But next week, we'll pick up this Arrested Development section and talk about the teaching of plays and plays. I don't know, I'm babbling. Teaching of plays in the college arena. Why can't I speak? Because we're going off the air and I'm so sad. And we'll continue more on David Mamet. We'll start looking at his plays and talk to actors. We've got lots of things planned for the weeks ahead. So thank you for joining us on Stage Right today. We're here every Sunday from 1:30 to 2. I'm Rocky Benesher. Write to me, call me, let me know what you think. We'll be back next Sunday with more. Right now we are exiting Stage Right.